Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
My name is Daniel. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church once again, especially if this is your first time coming to our church. You are our special guest. I'd like to remind all of us, people who call this church home, and our guests, that our slogan is "No Perfect People Allowed." We're here every week because we believe that God's forgiveness and grace is available to any one of us who just calls on Him and put our faith and trust in Him. So that's why it's called the Good News. I'd like to welcome our YouTube viewers, podcast listeners as well. Thanks for joining in. And this morning, I'm so excited because we're starting a brand new series, Three Questions Every Child Needs Answered, all right? Now, before I continue, I'd like to begin with a couple of things. Number one, I'm not an expert in parenting, nor I claim to be, okay? I have an 11-year-old boy at home, and some of you have more experience than me. You've been through the whole cycle of parenting. Maybe I will call on you and ask for advice next time as Jaden gets older. But I am a parent, and I have learned from my mistakes. I'm what I call on-the-job training. That's what I'm doing, being a parent. And I read books. I talk to people with experience who give me advice, good advice that I put into practice in my life. And I think I have some valuable experience and also what I learned to share with you for the next 3 weeks. So I'm so excited about that. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you're a parent, naturally you're going to lean in this series, and that's going to be great. But even if you are single, okay, even if you're not a parent, I want you to lean in and pay attention, because let me tell you why. The principles that we're going to learn together throughout this series will be so valuable to you. See, you're an adult now, but when you were a kid, you asked these three questions yourself, and how your parents answered these three questions kind of shape who you are today. So it's important for you to lean in, and my hope is that God will remove some of the hurt, some of the baggages that you may have with you right now, okay? And that's it. I'd like to begin with a word of prayer one more time before we just listen to God together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity for us to learn from you. And right now, I pray that you speak to us for whatever reason that we came here. Lord, I know this is not a coincidence. So help us to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say, Amen. 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 All right. So are you ready for the first question? The first question is this. What are my boundaries? What are my boundaries? Now, your kids will not ask this question out loud, most probably not. But believe you me, deep down inside, they will ask this question: what are my boundaries? The best resource I can share with you on this very topic is a book called, guess what? Boundaries by Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. It's a New York Times bestseller. Over 2 million copies sold, and a few years after they released this book, they came up with the second book called Boundaries for Kids, or Boundaries with Kids, and I recommend for you to go get these two books. It's really, really good, all right? Now, let me begin with a story, a true story. Parents of a 23-year-old came to see Dr. Cloud in a psychiatric hospital one Saturday morning. All right? And they said to Dr. Cloud, please, I want you to help fix our son. Let's call him Bill. And Dr. Cloud asked the parents, where is Bill? Well, he's not here. Why not? Because he doesn't think he has a problem. That's what the parents said. And Dr. Cloud said, well, he may be right. No, the parents said, he has a lot of problems. And they started to share the problems that Bill has. See, Bill flunked out of 3 colleges. How did that happen? Dr. Cloud asked. Well, I helped him get into the first one because I was a board member in that college, but he partied too much, he failed all his subjects, and he got kicked out of school. So I helped him get into the second one. This time, I even bought him a house. I gave him money so that he could just focus on his study. That's right, kids. Guess what happened? He flunked out of that one as well, and the third one. And then he said, and Bill has been having drug problem. He's been smoking dope since he was 15. And the worst thing is, he's right now 23 years old, and he's not doing anything with his life. Well, where is Bill right now? Dr. Cloud asked. He's not here. I know he's not here, but where is he? Oh, he's in Colorado skiing. So finally, after the parents finished explaining, Dr. Cloud said this. I don't think I can help your son. Oh, why not? The parents asked. See, I'm a psychologist. I help people with problems. And frankly, I agree with your son. He doesn't have any problem. What do you mean he doesn't have any problem? Well, Dr. Cloud said, he's out in Colorado skiing. Does that sound like a man with a problem to you? You, on the other hand, I can help because you have a lot of problems. What do you mean? Well, obviously, you have a flung out of college problem, you have a drug problem, and you have a laziness problem. That's not our problems, the parents said. That's Bill's. Well, he's out skiing in Colorado. You, on the other hand, are in a psychiatric hospital on a Saturday morning. What kind of people go to a psychiatric hospital? People with problems. See, you have a lot of problems. You are so obsessed with these problems. You own this problem. Bill has a lot of money. He lives in a free house, and he's happy skiing. He doesn't have a problem in the world. But you have problems. Bill is out there. He's irresponsible but happy. You, on the other hand, you are very responsible, but you are miserable. You have boundaries problem, Dr. Cloud said. What do you mean, boundaries problem? Well, let me explain it to you this way, said Dr. Cloud. Imagine you and your son, Bill, are next door neighbor to each other. And Bill never waters his lawn. But your sprinkle system, your retic system, every morning water his lawn. So your lawn turns brown, while his lawn turns very green. So Bill, your son, looks at his lawn and said, my lawn looks great. That's what happened. His life is great. He doesn't go to school, he doesn't work, and yet he has a house and he has plenty of money, enough to go skiing to Colorado. See, if you had just defined the boundary line a little clearer and fixed your sprinkle system so that the water would fall on your lawn and no longer on his lawn, maybe your lawn will turn green and his lawn will soon turn brown, and maybe he's not going to be very happy with it and has to do something with it. See, a little change in boundary line will keep his problems out of your yard back to his yard where they belong. See, that's what boundaries is. See, we understand this in the physical world. Every country has boundaries. Your property has boundaries, right? When you play sports, every sport has lines, has boundaries, so that you know. See, nobody wants to play sport if it's not clear where the lines are. You see, we need to know when the ball is in play and when the ball is out of play. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand that the same principle applies to life. Same principle applies to life. This is what he said. Boundaries are what define us. Think of it as lines or fences. They define what is me and what is not me. A boundary shows me where I end and someone else begins. It helps me to know what is my responsibility and what is not my responsibility. How many of you who are parents feel like you are in the constant state of having to ask your kids to do things they don't want to do? You tell them to do, you know, something once, twice, three times. Finally, you yell, brush your teeth! And and then you feel bad about yelling, and then you think you're a bad parent. Parents of teenagers, talk to them. It doesn't get any easier, right? You get your teenagers to do stuff all the time that they don't want to do. Take out the trash. Have you done your homework? Take a shower. Please, take a shower. Right? What are they doing? They're asking you, what are my boundaries? What are my boundaries? Do you know a lot of problems in life is the result of having unclear boundaries? Do you know that? See, it makes sense in the physical world. You wouldn't do it in the physical world. If you, for example, right, you were mowing your lawn one day, and then your neighbor drove out of his driveway and started yelling at you and started saying to you, "How come you keep mowing only your own lawn? I want you to mow my lawn as well." What do you do? Would you like, "Oh, sorry, I'll mow this right after, your lawn right after"? You wouldn't say that, right? You say, "You're crazy. That's your lawn. That's your business." Or what if the situation is turned the other way around? You saw your neighbor weeding, putting fertilizer on his lawn, and you started yelling at him and complaining to him, "Why don't you do it on my lawn as well?" He's going to call you crazy, right? We wouldn't do it in the physical world, but we don't realize that that's exactly what happened in life. You see, let me give you a tip, all right? This is worth coming to church for, especially if you are a parent. We often parent in the present, and along the way, we cross a lot of boundary lines without thinking about the future. You see, it's easier to parent in the present. You go home one day, you're tired, so instead of spending quality time with little Johnny, what do? You have some R&R time watching TV, and you let little Johnny to play with his iPad all night. You see, present problem solved, right? But you're not thinking about little Johnny's future. Can you imagine what he's going to turn out to be? What he's going to turn out to be if you don't spend quality time with him, and all he spends time in is his iPad. Little Johnny's supposed to fix up his room, to tidy up his room. You've been yelling at him. But, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night, he's too tired, you feel sorry for him, so you start tidying up his room for him. The next morning, he woke up late, he forgot to pack his own lunch, all right? And you feel sorry for little Johnny because he might be hangry. He might be hungry lunchtime, so what do? You pack his lunch, you drove to his school to drop his lunch in his bag for him. Well, present problem solved. But I feel sorry for Johnny's future wife. She's not going to be a happy camper, let me tell you. When you parent, don't just parent in the present. You have to think about the future as well. See, one of the major goals of parenting is to love your child and develop their character for the future. Not just to love your child. You have to love them unconditionally. But you need to develop their character for the future as well. Let me break this down for you, okay? Everybody's born a little person living in a big person's world. And there's a certain dynamic that happens in the relationship. Paul explains it this way in Galatians 4, verse 2. But children are under guardians and managers. Three key words there. Under, guardians, and manager. First of all, there's this one-way relationship almost. Children are under the guardianship of their parents. So the parents are the resource. Kids can't do anything yet as they were born. So we need to provide them with food, with clothing, with shelter, and so on. They are dependent fully on the parents. And our job as a parent is to be their guardian as well. What does a guardian do? Well, a guardian does two things. Number one, to keep your children from doing anything that is too grandiose, like driving a car or handling sharp objects when they're not ready, and so on. And job number two of a guardian is to keep them from not doing things that they're supposed to do, skills that they're supposed to pick up along the way, right? So that's our job as a guardian. And we also have a second job, and that is a manager. So what we do is we manage this process of growing, of learning, so that little Johnny can grow up learning new skills. So for example, when little Johnny was a baby, you feed him, you spoon-fed him, right? But slowly, little Johnny picks up new skill. He can put the fork into his own mouth instead of putting spaghetti all over his face. Yes? So as he picks up these new skills, he performs it, and then you delegate this skill to him. All right, Johnny boy, now you can eat on your own. Go eat your stuff while daddy is eating sandwich right here. So you keep doing that, and before you know it, Johnny is ready for potty training. And then soon he picks up the skill. He can go potty by himself. And that's the time when you say, "Praise Jesus, hallelujah, I'm out of that business." So he picked up the skill of doing potty by himself. He performs it. You delegate that to him. Hey, buddy boy, whenever you feel the urge, go for it. Go for it, because I'm out of that business. So that's what happens. Along the way, you keep delegating. They keep picking up new skills. Now they can learn to choose which games they can play, which movies they can watch, what music to listen to, and so on. Basically, this is what happens, okay? We continue to be the source for our children. We help them by guarding them, and we manage the process of growing. And gradually, okay, they will learn to manage their finance, they will learn to manage their time, they will learn to manage their own life, all right? And then pretty soon, if you do your job right, little Johnny will grow up to be one of the big people, and now he manages his own source, he guards himself, and he also manages himself. That's what should happen, all right? Because children are not born with boundaries. The boundaries have to come externally from you as the parent. They need to know that the world requires them to take responsibility for their own personhood and life. When you see an adult with boundary problems, you can bet your life they didn't develop that problem as an adult. They developed that problem as a child, all right? Everybody must be responsible for their own life. Everyone is responsible for their own feelings. You can't say, he made me feel this way. Well, you can't control what other people say or do. That's outside of your boundary, correct or not? But how you choose to respond, how you choose to feel, it is up to you. Just because someone says something bad and nasty about you, if you know that's not true, you don't have to feel bad about it. See, you are the manager of your own feelings, your thoughts, your attitudes, your behaviors, and your choices, and so on. I meet adults all the time who say things like, I have to do it. I don't have any choice. What do you mean you don't have any choice? Of course you have a choice, right? You just choose to do it. Oh, but he made me do it. My boss made me do it. Well, regardless, whenever you do something, that means you choose to do it. You are responsible for your own life. This is how the Apostle Paul puts it. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. You know, Paul, the apostle, wrote a lot of stuff, almost two-thirds of our New Testament. But do you know that the only command specifically directed to children is this one? This is the only one specifically directed to children. You know what that means? That means we as parents must pay attention. One of our jobs as a parent is to teach our children obedience. To teach our children obedience. It is very important. You know why? Because if they don't learn to obey you, they won't know how to obey authorities in their life. They won't learn to obey the police. They won't learn to obey their teachers. And most importantly, they won't learn to obey God. All right? It is our job as parents to teach them obedience because they don't have that sense yet at the very beginning. David, for all his good qualities, he was not a very good parent. I'm talking about David the king. And in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6, this is what it says. Now his father, King David, had never disciplined his son Adonijah at any time. Even by asking, why are you doing that? That's why, no wonder, Adonijah grew up to be a rebel. And finally, he was persecuted for treason. Because King David never disciplined his son. He never taught him how to be obedient. Not even by asking, why are you doing that? So this morning, with the time that I have remaining, I want to share with you three ways you can discipline your children. You can teach them obedience, all right? So that you know where the boundaries lie, okay? So the first one is this. Model the behavior that you want to see. Model the behavior you want to see. No one has more potential to influence your child than you do. If you are a parent, stop blaming Hollywood. All right? From now on, you are prohibited from blaming Hollywood, blaming the school system, blaming the church. You have more potential to influence your child than anybody. All right? Model the behavior that you want to see. Several years ago, there was an advertisement made by an Australian company. It was very powerful, one of the best ads ever made. It's about how our child copies our behavior. It's only about 50 seconds long. I'm going to show it to you, and I'm going to explain to you what I mean.
It looks like rain again today. Dark clouds gather and fill the sky. Don't know how to talk to you. Just know how to say goodbye.
Are you actually gonna drive us lights out of here? I don't think so.
Go back where you came from. Learn this.
Powerful, isn't it? It's hard to discipline your child for lying when you lie to them all the time. Oh, daddy promised I'll play with you, but you never play with them. It's hard to discipline your child for yelling when you can't control your own emotion. It's hard to discipline your child for smoking when you yourself smoke. Basically, you have to model the behavior that you want to see in your child. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 4:16, "For I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you, so I urge you to imitate me." I know he's talking about being a spiritual father, but it works the same way for a physical father as well. You imitate your father, all right? So don't be surprised. How you talk, that's how exactly your child will talk. Your child imitate how you treat the waitress, how you treat the police, how you speak to people of other races. Your child will imitate what you do. A friend of mine sent me this week. This is very powerful. If children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn how to fight. If they live with ridicule, they learn to be shy. If they live with shame, they learn to feel guilty. If children live with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If children live with praise, they learn to appreciate. If they live with fairness, they learn justice. If they live with security, they learn to have faith. If they live with approval, they learn to like. If they live with love, they learn to give love. And if children live with encouragement, they learn to have confidence themselves. All right? You got to model the behavior you want to see. Now, you won't be perfect, obviously, right? You're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. But believe you me, that His grace is always sufficient. Still, you gotta, as best as you could, model the behavior that you want to see. And if you make a mistake, apologize to your child. Model to him what it's like to be a follower of Jesus Christ who needs forgiveness and so on. All right, that's number one. Number two, discipline in love. You gotta discipline in love. Hebrews 12, verse 11 said, "No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful, but afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way." I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. Your child will not say to you, "Oh, Dad, thank you so much for that timeout, because I will be a better person 20 years from now because of it." They will not say that to you, all right? But even though it is painful right now, look at the result. If you are patient, afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Okay? Hebrews 5-6 says, "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when He corrects you, for the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes each one He accepts as His child." You know, the reason why God disciplines us from time to time is not because He hates us, it's because He loves us. If you really, truly love your child, you have to discipline them. You know, a group of juvenile delinquents were asked a question. If they can redo their life over, what would they hope their parents do to show more love to them? That was the question, right? And you know what they said? Surprisingly, the interviewer was expecting, you know, like, oh, I need more hug, or I need them to say, I love you more often. No. You know what those juvenile delinquents said? I wish my parents had been more disciplined toward me. I wish my parents had been more disciplined toward me. Several years ago, my mentor and my pastor came from the United States to live with us for about 2 weeks. And after staying with us for 1 week, one night he called Hulda and I, he and his wife called Hulda and I to have a conversation. And then we thought, oh, what conversation? So finally, after dinner, we sat down. Jaden is already asleep. And this is what he said. I kid you not, I did not change the phrasing at all. He said, get ready to visit your son in jail when he's 17. That's what he said. Get ready to visit your son in jail when he's 17. And we said, why? And he started explaining to us how he observed how we parent Jaden, how Jaden got to do anything that he wanted, how we never disciplined him, how we always do things for him, and so on. And we just broke down. And from that moment on, we changed our parenting toward Jaden. And he's a much better young man for it because of that one simple advice from my mentor. They need discipline, all right? The problem is, a lot of parents don't discipline correctly. See, sometimes we become authoritarian. Sometimes we are too loosey-goosey. Kevin Lehman, who wrote many great books on parenting, one of them I love is Have a New Kid by Friday. So if you want to have a new kid by Friday, buy the book. This is what he said. Many parents don't act in authority. They act as dictators. Hey, you're going to do what I tell you as long as you live under my roof and you get that look of your face, or I'll change it for you. That's some of us, yeah? Or some parents are a bit too loosey-goosey. I want to make you happy, happy, happy. No matter what the child asks for, they get it. A grotesquely violent game? No problem. A rap album with lewd lyrics? Absolutely. Clothes that reveal half of their daughter's body? Sure. And this is what he said at the end. Both extremes produce rebellion. Both extremes produce rebellion. Ephesians 6, verse 4 says this. You know, sometimes without realizing it, we provoke anger in our children. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Notice Paul says discipline and instruction. So don't just tell them what not to do. Don't do this, don't do that. You know, don't just say no, no, no. But you got to teach them what is the yes, all right? Love people. Be kind to others. See, that's the difference between discipline and instruction. And notice, he said, do not provoke your children to anger. What would provoke children to anger? Harassment, embarrassing them in front of their friends, constantly putting them down, right? Calling them names, and so on. That provoke your children to anger. I want to give you some tips very quickly, because this is what a lot of us do, and it's very dangerous. When you discipline in anger, it will provoke anger in our children, and you don't want to do that. So when you feel tempted, because you're not Jesus, I know, you know, just this week as I was preparing for this message, I had a really hard time talking to Jaden. So some tips when you are tempted to discipline in anger. Number one, take a deep breath and a step back. See, as you walk toward your child's room, don't keep on marching. Stop, take a deep breath, actually walk backward. And then think about what you're about to do, what you're about to say. That's the first thing. And number two, say something to yourself, something good, something positive. Like, I love this boy. Maybe you're saying it with, you know, grinding your teeth. I love this boy. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him. Wait until he feels my love. Right? But it will change the game, okay? You remind yourself that I love him. One thing that I said from time to time is, I need to model Jesus for my son, even though I know I'm not Jesus, but how would Jesus treat the situation? You know, that always helps as well. And then number three, ask, what does my child need right now? Maybe he's just tired. Maybe he just needs some sleep, and you're making a big deal out of it. Some Christian authors said, it's very surprising and saddening how Christian parents got so angry and said some harsh words over little things. Compared to a judge delivering a death sentence, it's nothing. And I thought to myself, wow, yeah, I've been so angry with Jaden just over spilled milk, just over some minor small little things. You know, you got to cool down from time to time. Maybe it's not as big a deal as you think, but you do need to discipline them. And then finally, number three, you got to separate the behavior from the child. You got to separate the behavior from the child. What do I mean by that? See, our identity is in Christ. It is important for your child to know their identity as well, right? And sometimes, as a follower of Christ, we don't act the same way as our identity, correct? I mean, we just said to ourselves, we are the sons and daughters of God. Let me ask you, are you always acting like the son and daughter of God? No, right? Same thing with your child. So this is what I used to say to Jaden when he's being naughty. I said, Jaden, you are very naughty. Why do you do that? But now I stop saying that. Now this is what I say. Jaden, you are a good boy. What you did was naughty. You see the difference? Jaden, you are very kind, but that was very unkind, what you did. You see, you separate them, the child that you love, the fruit of your loin, from their behavior. You got to separate the behavior from the child. You got to protect what is inside their hearts, all right? Proverbs 4, verse 23 says this, guard your heart above all else. This is so important. That's what it means. You know, everything that I said earlier, nothing is more important than this. You need to guard your child's heart, okay? Guard your heart above all else because they can't guard their own yet. It's your job as their parents, okay? Guard your child's heart above all else, for the reason why is this. It determines the course of their life. So some of my best conversations I have with Jaden is at night when I put him to bed, we pray together, and we always, you know, have a great conversation. I ask him, Jaden, how's your heart? Anything make you angry today? What happened? Especially after I discipline him, usually I ask him, are you mad at Daddy? You know why Daddy did it? And I'm sorry, Daddy was tired just now. I yelled at you. So would you forgive Daddy? Because I shouldn't have yelled at you. And then Jaden said, okay. Or sometimes he said, I'll think about it. I'll think about it. Okay, thank you, Jaden. Thank you for thinking about it. All right? Daddy is sorry. But I just want to let you know that was not good, what you did. See, it is important for you to guard your child's heart. But at the end of the day, let me close with this. None of us is perfect. You know, you will be out of your depth trying to rear your child the best way possible. And sometimes you don't even know what to do. But here's an encouragement for you that I want you to live. I want to live this with you. James 1 says this. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Ask God for wisdom. God, what do you want me to do in this situation? God, give me wisdom because I need it right now. Help me to say the right thing. Help me to do the right thing so that my child will not be angry with me, but I will guard his heart and so on, because it is very, very important that you as a parent, not just to love them, but also to train them, to guard them, to bring them up so that their character will develop to be a responsible person. And then you need to understand where your boundary stops and where, you know, the line starts for them to live. What is their responsibility? What is your responsibility?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.